Good evening. This is Dr. For Jesus, Dr. Pamela Odom. Wanted to just come on and give you another brief lesson. I promise you I won't be long. Give you a little brief lesson. I don't want to overfeed you to the point where there's too much information, but I want to try to at least give you at least 30 minutes. And 30 minutes should be, partially enough for you to, to study up on, swallow it, come back again and listen to it again, and let God give you new revelation on faith. I believe that faith is the most important thing that a Christian can have in their arsenal, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we want to make sure that we are pleasing God in every way. And when we have our faith in full force, then let God know that we are cooperating with his principles, so that we may be able to do what he has called us to do. And I also want to thank everyone who's listening to my podcast, that you're coming on and you're supporting my podcast. I want to say thank you so very much, because it's definitely the Lord in his doing. And I thank God for even starting this, because I have had this podcast system for about 2 years before I started my first outlet on the podcast. So I am so thankful for those who are listening. Keep me in your prayers. Pray for my endeavors of what the Lord has called me to do, and that I would obey in the name of Jesus. Pray for my health and pray for that I will stay strong for the Lord and be able to do mighty exploits for him. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the lesson. Talk about the force of prayer. Excuse me, the force of faith. I'm sorry. Want to talk about the force of faith. We talked about the dispensations or the compensations of faith on the last lesson that I did. But I just want to talk a little bit about the force of faith and what we mean, the word force. If you hear what I say, force means that we're going to push a principle until we can't push it anymore. We're going to push faith in our lives and in our family, in every endeavor that we do. We're going to push it. So we're going to force it in so that it can get to that place where it will begin to reach God and Jesus in every way. Okay. So the title today will be The Force of Faith. And I'm going to start off with the scripture coming from Mark 11 and 23. It's a very, very familiar scripture. And it's one scripture that is used many, many times. I mean, ever since I've been saved and in the Lord, this is the scripture that that every faith person should have memorized, especially starting at the 23rd and working your way on down into that 23, 24, and 25. But I want to start there, and we're going to lift it up, and then we're going to speak a little bit more concerning that scripture. But the scripture says, and it reads as, "Truly, I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him." Mark 11 and the 23rd verse. And I am reading from the Amplified Bible. So here we see that in the scripture is telling us that the word is in our mouth. It's letting us know that all we have to do is open our mouth and speak. Now, what I do know about faith is that faith is not mental. It's not in your mind. You can't think faith. You've got to open your mouth and speak faith. You've got to open your mouth and begin to confess the word of God in situations, over situations, toward situations that you want to see change, and that you want to see things to move, and you want to see things to be, see the things to come into a different perspective in your life. So in this section, we're going to talk about the importance of your words. I say that again. We want to talk about in this section, the importance of your words. Because if we don't understand the importance of our words, then we will continue as we are. And I know a lot of people speak what they say out of their mouth, and they are not even conscious of what they be saying. And they're conversating and they're speaking words, but they're not speaking the right words. So we want to come today and hopefully explain a little bit why you should be speaking the right words, and how important it is for you to speak the right words. So I want you to see, and I need for you to understand today, that the power that God wants to release when you speak his word, this is what he wants you to know. You need to know this, that there's a power that God wants you to release. There's words, there's power in your words. He wants you to understand the power that God releases when you speak his word. And so that's the reason why we have to be word people. We have to be people who study the word of God, who are in our word on a daily basis, because you cannot force faith, or you cannot speak or confess out of your mouth what you do not read and what you do not study. So we want to make sure that we understand that right there, because that you can stick a pin right there, because it does you no good if you are not a student of the word. Your words are invisible. So always remember that. When you speak the word of God, you don't see the words coming out. You hear them coming out, but you don't see them coming out. So faith without faith is, so we walk by faith and not by sight. So that's the reason why the words are invisible that come out of our mouth. But they are altogether still real and still powerful. And that word that comes out of our mouth must be or should be the word of God. God has given us tools to be successful. I'm telling you, he's given us the tools, the body of Christ. He has given us tools to be successful. But we have to do something in order to get that success. In order for that success to come to fruition in our lives, we must do something. And that is his word. We must have his word in our mouth. So when we don't have his word in our mouth or in our heart, then we miss out on all the abundant living because of our mouths. And if the word is not coming out, if faith is not coming out of our mouth, confessions of the word of God is not coming out of our mouth, then that means that death is coming out of our mouth. Because in Romans 10, and let me jump back up there, because in Romans 10, it says that, but what does it say? It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And the word of faith which we preach, yes, and the word of faith which you study and read on your own accord, if I'm talking to lay members. So the word of God, yes, you cannot just continue to go off of the preacher coming to church on Wednesdays, coming to church on Sundays. But you must begin to take the word of God and begin to force the word of God through faith onto your situations and to your circumstances. Okay? So you miss out on this abundant life because we speak negative words out of our mouth. Your words have so much importance that God will hold you accountable for them. He will hold you accountable for them. Let's go to the scripture. Let me show you that is so. Matthew 12, 36 and 37 from the Amplified Bible. It says, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, when men will have to give an account of every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Let me read that again. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account of every idle, inoperative, and non-working word that they speak. For by your words, you will be justified and acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned and sentenced. Matthew 12, 36 through 37. And that's the Amplified translation. So here it is. It tells us that every idle word, because idle words, they have no substance. They have no workings. And they are non-operative or they are inoperative, and they will not be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish out of you. And so if your words are not lining up with the word of God, they are inoperative. They are idle and they are non-working. Okay? And so if you don't watch yourselves, the words, and this is something that I think that we should change quickly in our lives, because I'm telling you, I believe that some people that's listening to me, you've been speaking out of your mouth negative words for years. And you've been trying to figure out, well, what is going on, God? Do you hear my prayer? Do you hear me? Is there anything? What am I doing that I'm not getting the process going, or I'm not getting that progress even in my life to do what you have called me to do? Maybe you need to check your words that's coming out of your mouth. Because you remember the doors when they said in 2024, the year of the doors? I believe that this is the door. This is the year of the door of the open mouth. That we're going to have to open our mouths like never before in this 2024, 25, 26, and all the way to 2010. We're going to have to open our mouths and speak a thing, because we have that power to do that. Yes. Wow. Words. Words are so important that God keeps track of them. Matthew 12, 36, 37 told us that. The words that he wants to hear, he keeps track of them. And he will hold us accountable for them. The words that he don't want to hear, he'll hold us accountable for. So on this going basis, you have to learn to guard the things that you say. Always guard the things. In other words, be quiet. Don't talk so much. Don't be flip-mouthing. Sit back and allow God to speak to you and then speak what you're supposed to speak. Because if you're a person who just carelessly just speak out of your mouth, say words, and just say anything, you're allowed to say anything, and those are careless words. And they'll come back to haunt your future. They'll come back to haunt your presence. So you must understand, people of God, that words are powerful. So take what you say very seriously. From this day forward, in 2024, and from this day forward, take what you say very, very seriously. You cannot get enmeshed in corrupt communication or corrupt words, because your words, if you don't watch yourself, your words will work against you. So that means that we have to have constant confession that will come out of our mouth, that will become the present state of which we live in. So what is confession? Some of you might be asking, what is a confession? Confessions are saying what the word says or what God says in his word. So not saying what comes off the top of our mind, because our minds cannot speak power. Our minds cannot speak force. Our minds cannot do these things. But it is the word of God that he's talking about here. This is what we must take, and we must begin to open up our mouth and confess over your sickness. Confess over your poverty. Confess over your finances. Confess over your husband. Confess over begin to open your mouth and take the word of God and let it come out of your mouth, because it has power when it comes out of your mouth, because it's nigh thee in thy mouth and in thy heart. So when it comes out, it is a force to be reckoned with. So you can be able to open your mouth and make these full confessions and take advantage of the confessions and see God work in your life. So here are just a few benefits of a positive confession. There's satisfaction. And it says in Proverbs 20 and 18, it says, and a man's stomach, not meaning his natural stomach, but it's talking about his moral self. A man's moral, I'm going to just put that in there. A man's moral self shall be satisfied from the fruits of his own mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled, whether it be good or evil. So here we see that the satisfaction and fulfillment is being given to us, and we are satisfied from the fruit of our mouth. Every day of your life, every minute, every second, you can be satisfied by the fruit of your mouth. Because when I say fruit is not something. When you think about fruit, I think about fruit. I love fruit. All the fruit that I eat, the fruit is good. I love it. I keep eating it because I love it. So this is good stuff that's taking place. These are positive confessions. These are things that are coming to pass in your life that are fulfilling you now. You have been satisfied with your confession because now you see them working. The next one is, another positive confession, is health to your body. Proverbs 12 and 18. There are those who speak rashly like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise bring healing. It says your tongue can bring you healing. When you speak over your life, when you make confessions of healing over your life, you speak healing into your life. Healing becomes your portion. It becomes to activate. It begins to activate on the inside of you. Wherever that infirmity is, you can speak to that infirmity, and by his stripes, I am already healed by the power of God. So you open your mouth and you confess and you say what God says. And the more you say what God says, then you're going to have that abundant living. You actually will be abundant living. And so the last confession I want to leave you with is joy in sad situations. Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him or her down. And I'm emphasizing my words, but an encouraging word makes it glad. Look at that. Every time you are anxious for nothing, you need to act, you need to get a confession going. Every time you're anxious, because anxious anxiety in the man's heart, it weighs him down. And a lot of people, and a lot of people in the body of Christ are weighted down by their words. They're weighted down by the things that are happening in their lives. And it's bringing anxiety in your life to the point where it's beginning to weigh you down so bad that you're not able to move. You're not able to move in the things of God. You're not able to hear what God is saying. You become very insensitive because anxiety is weighing you down. But it says, but an encouraging word. When you begin to speak an encouraging word, it brings joy in sad situations. When you begin to speak an encouraging word, it makes you glad. When somebody comes up to you and tell you you're beautiful and or speak kind words to you, it begins to make your heart glad, your spirit glad. So it begins to build you up instead of killing and dying things. But it builds up that presence. It builds up that place where you're trying to be built up. So this is what we want to make sure. Take advantage of making positive confessions over your life and over the things of your life. So spirit and even in this place, you know, because a lot of times I see a lot of people are being bombarded by the enemy. There's spiritual authority that you need to exercise by the words of your mouth. Oh, yeah. Because even the devil have to obey when you open your mouth. When you say in your mouth, and I'm going to give you a scripture to go with that. Spiritual authority is exercised by the words of your mouth. A lot of people I come in contact with, they don't even know that they have spiritual authority over the enemy. They always want somebody else to cast out devils. They always want somebody else to lay hands on them and rebuke the devil. But I want to let you know today that because of the power that's in your mouth, because the word that is nigh thee in your mouth and in your heart has the power to override every demonic activity in your life. And even the devil will obey when you open your mouth and speak out of your mouth faith-filled words. So the scripture here begins to read, and this is a segment, and it says that when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Luke 10:17, that's in the Living Translation. He says, the force of faith can only be released when your heart is established by faith-filled words. Listen to it. Let me read Luke 10:17 again. Excuse me. When the 72 disciples returned joyfully, reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Now, I really believe that these disciples went out. These 72 disciples went out in the power and in the anointing of the Lord Jesus. And when they began to use Jesus' name, and even though it was Jesus' name, but they had the word nigh thee in their mouth, they believed in who Jesus was. And because they believed in who Jesus was, then the confession to open their mouth and rebuke demons began to come up out of them because they believed in the man who they had come in contact with. You know why? Because they had seen faith in action through Jesus. So the faith of force is going to be released when your heart is established. Excuse me. By faith-filled words. So what is in your heart? That's what this question. You can ask that question right now. What is in your heart? Whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth. Whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth. God, good people do good things because they are or have good hearts. Good people, bad people do bad things because of the evil in their hearts. Your words show what is in your heart. Luke 6:45. That's the easy version translation. So your heart becomes filled, people of God, with faith-filled words by what you hear. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by what? Hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. The more you hear the word of God, and that's the reason why in your time with the Lord, besides coming to church and hearing the preacher, you have to learn to hear the word of God. Don't read the word of God solemnly anymore. Open up your mouth and begin to read the word and hear the word coming out of your mouth with power and with an anointing that can do whatever God wants it to do. Take that word and begin to understand it and begin to read it and know that when you open your mouth that you are pushing out faith-filled words. And then as you hear them, then your faith comes. It begins to grow. It begins to move. Things begin to move on the inside. of you, and you began to see differently than what you saw before you sat down and began to say the faith-filled words in your heart, and these words became real to you. So as you confess your word, as you confess the word of God, in addition to hearing it, you hear it. You actually hear it. You are building your faith as you confess God's word. That's what you're doing every day. If you're listening to it on your radio, or you're listening to the word of God in the car, or if you're listening to the word of God just sitting in your private time with the Lord, you are actually being filled with faith because you are hearing it, you're confessing it, you're hearing it, and you are building your faith as you confess God's word. You are changing things around you. You're changing atmospheres. You're changing even the things in your family. When you speak over your children, you change things in their lives. When you speak over your money, things begin to happen in the realm of the spirit. But you're charging yourself with faith as you speak faith-filled words. So you may be thinking this, but as I speak the words, I'm not certain I agree or believe them yet. Well, that's okay. You don't have to worry about that. That's one thing we want to make sure that we understand. We don't worry about when God does it. We just know that God does it. So keep speaking, because as you speak, the force of faith will rise, and soon what you are saying will be exactly what you believe. And then because you have to, even though you don't know that you, or you don't agree that you are believing, but the more you say it, the more it becomes real to you. The more it becomes a part of you. The more it begins to get into your spirit, the more you say it. That's the reason why you got to keep saying it. And that's the reason why you have to condition yourself to add that God that you are hearing it to. So, okay, keep speaking, because as you speak, that force of faith will rise up. And after that, you don't have anything to lose, even if you don't believe it right now. Nobody knows what you're believing for unless you tell them what you're believing for. And then it's activated out in the open. Now you're accountable. You hope you are accountable to keep on going and not be disappointed because nothing has come to pass. But you know that you're still confessing and you're still believing. The more you confess, the more you believe. The more you confess, the bigger your belief comes. The more you confess, the stronger your belief comes. The more you confess, the more power your belief takes place in your life. It's just automatic like that. The other one, let's take for instance, let's talk about even your finances. Maybe you're in a financial straitjacket. Maybe your bills are behind, okay? Your job is in jeopardy. Your education is limited, you know? And the economy is in transition now. And you're talking about the furthest thing from your mind is God's promises of abundance. Yes, I'm pretty sure it is, because that scripture where it says anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. That's anxiety when we talk about what I'm just saying right here for these, you know, just talking about the finances. You tremble just saying the words, but the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Listen to that. You are what? Confessing the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. It doesn't matter what the economy is looking like. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter if our money is short and banks are falling and income and people are losing their jobs or whatever. Things are just falling apart. It doesn't matter about it, because if you are in the hands of the Lord and you are serving the true and living God, he says he would not let anything come against us or take anything from us that's ours. But you have nothing to lose by speaking the words, and everything to gain. I promise you. If you're concerned about what people are going to think about you now, and if your financial situation deteriorates, they will laugh at you anyways. They're going to laugh at you anyways. They'll laugh at you because you believe in God. They'll laugh at you if it doesn't come to fruition. But why not just believe God and just stay there until it comes to fruition, and then you go back and laugh in their face. And I say, I told you that I knew that if I kept on doing this word, if I kept on believing that God was going to do what he was going to do, if I kept on hearing faith coming by hearing by the word of the Lord, I knew that he was going to do just what he said. I knew the word was going to be what the word says. And I take that. I live off of that. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels, because I'm not going by none of those things that in my life I'm not feeling. I'm not hearing, touching, smelling. I ain't doing none of that, because faith is none of that. So there's another scenario. Maybe the doctor telling you that your situation is incurable, and everyone you know who has heard that this same diagnosis has died, Yet, you know, the Bible says, who is own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 22 and 24, King James Version. That lets us know right there. He already done that on the cross. He's already taken care of the finances on the cross. He's already taken care of the healing on the cross. He's already taken care of the rejection on the cross. He's already taken care of the abandonment on the cross. You have to believe that it's already done, because it is already done. You can begin to say, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. But stop, because you wonder if it's truly, really true. Still speak what God says. That's all I can keep telling you. I don't care what you're thinking, and it doesn't matter how you're feeling about it or what you're thinking about it. You have to override your natural mind. This is a supernatural thing. Faith is a dimension of the supernatural. And in order for us to pass forward and move forward over our natural minds and what we feel and what we think, then we begin to know that God is speaking. We begin to continue speaking what God has said in his word. So, but follow the natural order that the doctor said. When you say, follow the natural order that the doctor gives you, but let the force of faith work on your behalf while you're following it. And do what the medicine cannot do. See, because that's, I am a true believer. And I'm not telling, this is a thing a lot of people go tell, well, they are praying for you now. You can get off your medicine. No, you don't get off of your medicine. Because you first have to go through the place of believing that God is healing your body. Because if he's not healing your body, you get off the medicine, then you'll be in trouble. You're going to be messed up. You're going to have to go back to the doctor to get more medicine, because you said, I threw my medicine away because I thought I was healed. But you are healed. You were healed. And you were healed because that's what the Bible says. By stripes, I am healed. But because you wasn't in that place, what I said earlier about believing, if you really believe what that you are healed. If you don't really believe that you are healed, that doesn't mean that you're not healed. The word of God is still true by itself, even if you don't even believe it. It still do what it says it's going to do, even though you don't even believe it. So you have, we go here, it says, as you have been exposed to the victorious life of faith, much of what you have learned may seem strange, downright unbelievable. That's okay, it's for it. It's faith. It's supernatural. It's based on where you are. So however, you can have little faith, no faith, you can have great faith, you can have, and even your faith can fail. But if you keep on saying what God says, the force of faith will bring you everything that you have read about the victorious way of faith. You just need to sow the word of God in your heart continuously. Sow the word of God in your heart as much as you can. If you believe in something, believe in God for something, you've got to sow the word of God in your heart. You've got to take the word of God and use it and utilize it for what is that has been given to us to do. So the more we what? Get in the word of God, the more our faith grows. And this is, and look, and listen to this. This is a short parable to kind of like go with what I just said earlier about some of us not believing that we are healed when Jesus says we are. The farmer plants the word. And people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. Some are like the seeds that land in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil and character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arise, there is nothing to show for it. The seed in the weeds represents the one who hears the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. But the seed planted in good earth represents those who hear the word and embrace it and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Mark 4, 14 through 20 in the Message translation. Maybe you thought that the sower was the pastor who teaches you the word of God, but that's not accurate. You are the farmer, not the pastor. The pastor has to sow for his own self to get the word that he needs. Yes, he gets the word for the congregation, but that's to supplement your faith. That's to supplement your growing in faith. That's to supplement to build your faith up. It's a supplement. But it's not what you are supposed to be doing. You are the one. The farmer cannot get a harvest by planting seeds in another man's field. And so even with us taking the word of God, that's why a pastor has to get the word for themselves. They just can't wait for Sunday mornings or wait to get in their word and get a message for Sunday morning, because that is that what he's putting his seed in is another man's field. So you are the field that he's putting his seeds in. And if he's not putting any seeds in his own, he's not being a farmer of his own self, then he's not planting no seeds and he's not going to get no harvest. And his faith is not going to grow. So he can only harvest what he plants on his own field. That's you too. You can only harvest what you plant in your own field. So if you don't sow no word, if you won't reap no word, if you don't get into the word won't get into you. If you don't study the word, then the word would just be the word on page, on the paper. It won't be, it just be a letter to you. It would not give you life. So you have to get in the word and believe the word, and then the life becomes because you believe the word. It is not enough for you to hear the word taught after week, if you take the lessons taught and intentionally plant them in your heart through repetitious information, yeah, you will cultivate the force of faith. And that is the reason why that God sent the preacher. How can they preach except they be sent? God sent the preacher to supplement your what you're doing at home, to give you more understanding, because the preacher should be in a place where he hears supernaturally from God, and being able to break the word of God down even that a child would be able to understand it. So you have to keep making your confessions, people of God, even when results cannot be seen. If you and whoever who's listening, I'm just saying, you have to make your confession when the results cannot be seen. You have to keep confessing, and you will move from disbelief to belief. And as you sow the word in your heart, and that's what you have to keep doing, sow the word in your heart and you will drive out doubt. Sow the word in your heart and you will drive out doubt. And the confidence that comes from faith will encompass you. And you will keep going from level to level. And now, once you go into level to level, now the things in the natural will start obeying. Ooh, ah, I love that. Thank you, Jesus. Now the things in the natural will begin to obey you. Look at God. He turns that thing around. Now you were so natural in the beginning, but when you start confessing that word, when you start opening your mouth, when that word starts coming out of you, putting that life on everything that was dead. You start resurrecting. You start recalibrating things. You start resuscitating things up by the word of God. And you begin to speak it, and then you begin to see your results come quickly. That's what happens. And he says things in the natural from that day forward will start to obey you. Thank you so much for listening to The Force of Faith. I'll be back next time where we will talk more about faith so that we can believe God for the impossible. Pray for me as I pray for you, because I believe in the impossible. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in God and the things of God and the things that I've read in the Bible. I believe that they are sure and they are true. And I believe that we are the ones must take the ram now. We must work the work that Jesus worked. We must do those things that he did, because he said, I'm going to my Father. He says, but you're going to come stay here. And he's talking to his disciples, yes. But I'm talking to us now. Yes, I'm talking to us right now, because he's given us dominion. And he says, whatever I've done, you're going to do greater. If I raise the dead, you're going to raise the dead. I cast out demons, you're going to cast out demons. This is our portion, people of God. But we've got to have faith to work the works of Christ. Love you today. God bless you. And I pray that you enjoy the word of the Lord. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good evening. This is Dr. For Jesus. Coming to you this evening. Another powerful word of the Lord on project. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. I want to go ahead and start on the podcast tonight. I thank you again for listening. I thank you again for coming and partaking of the word of the Lord. Lord, this is the place where we know that we get our strength. This is the place where our faith is elevated. But this is the word of the Lord. It's a place where it's safe, the safe place. And I thank the Lord on today for the word. For the activate the Lord. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and get started and talking about today, talking about being obedient and patient. The keys to consistency and faithfulness. I use this title before, but I'm going to use it again. The keys to consistency and faith. The keys to consistency and faith. Obedience and patience are the wonder twins of faith. Let me say that again. Obedience and patience are the wonder twins of faith. Both of them work together in order for us to be able to receive what God is saying in His Word, to be able to receive what we are hearing from God and being able to receive and to move in the things of God so that we will not be sidetracked because of a lack of faith. Because our patience will endure. Even when we don't see it right then, even when we don't have not come in contact with it or it has not appeared yet, our patience will ride us until we are able to see the faith that we are, the things that we are believing God in. So today I'm found in my foundation of scripture is Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you willingly obey me, the best crops in the land will be yours. Say that again, Isaiah 1:19. If you willingly obey me, the best crops in the land will be yours. It's funny how obedience is connected to everything that we do for God. Because without obedience, we cannot have faith. Without obedience, we can't even walk in faith. Because we have to obey in order to make things move, in order to make the faith process come to pass. So there are rewards to obedience. And obedience is to faith as faith is to patience. So in fact of that, God's best to us only comes through obedience. Obedience is a learned behavior. And when we do what God tells us to do, we will always receive from God abundant storehouse. So a choice to obey God is a choice to spend your days enjoying the best that God has for you or what God has to offer. The Bible says in Job 36:11, it says, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives and all their years will be pleasant. So as we continue on this journey of faith, as we continue on this journey to trust God, we must have a willingness and a readiness to obey all of God's instructions. We cannot obey what we want to obey, but we have to obey all of God's instructions. Let's talk about a little bit here about the substitute, to say that there is no substitute for obedience. Though many of us wish that there were, but God's divine power is always the end result of obedience. Every time you see somebody in the power of God, moving in the power of God, walking in the power of God, or doing anything that's bringing the power on the scene, it is because they are in obedience. They are not substituting their obedience for anything but to please God. And so your success in life depends on your obedience. Obedience is defined as a calculated choice to comply and carry out the will of God. There are three types of obedience. The first one is constrained obedience. The second one is partial obedience. And the third one is willful obedience. Now, constrained obedience is what you call forced obedience. That is imposed because of circumstances, age, and other outside confinement. This will not be involved, but obedience imposes on the believer by external forces and not God. So when you are constrained to obey, that means that there's something outside of who God is in your life that is bringing you into a place of obedience. In other words, it's not God's obedience that you're obeying, but it's an outside occurrence. Good example, you come to church because you are constrained to obey. Not that you want to come, but you come because you don't want anybody calling you. You don't want anybody saying anything to you. Even as you do, if you don't watch yourself, you will walk in constrained obedience in a whole lot of areas of your life that you don't even realize. And that strained obedience, I mean, and me being a leader and a pastor, and me being over people, I can see constrained obedience at work at work very easily. And I can see when people are doing just to be seen. I can see when people are doing because they feel like that they need to do it. I can see when people are in a place with God and they are constrained by outside consequences and outside people. Most people do because other people do. Not that they want to be obedient, but they are obedient because they are constrained to be obedient. So we have to make sure that we are not constrained to do constrained obedience. We have to make sure that we're not walking in that. So partial, let's talk a little bit about partial obedience. Partial obedience is where many people live. That's where majority of the body of Christ lives. They live in this, what you call partial obedience. Partial obedience is where many people live. You should know that ultimately, because partial obedience is what? Disobedience. Where there's partial obedience, and that's the reason why we got to be very careful, people of God, that we're not partially obeying. We're not partially in obedience, and that we are obeying to the fullness of what God is saying. We're obeying his word to the fullness. We are obeying his leadership to the fullness. We are obeying, oh God, the things of God to the fullness. Because if we're not obeying to the fullness, then that means that we are partial in our obedience, which is still total disobedience. So following most of what God says will not lead you to the victorious life of faith. And that's the reason why a lot of people are not seeing the miraculous things of God. The reason why a lot of people can't even walk in the supernatural, because they can't even be obedient to the small things of God. And so when it comes for movement, when it comes for growth, when it comes for activation in their lives, when it comes for coming up to the next level or moving into the next dimension with God, they have a problem with that because they have not been walking in obedience in their lives with God. A lot of Christians have wasted their time in God because they have not obtained the precious obedience of God to walk therein and be there and keep it steady with God in their obedience, because they're in and out of obedience. So the only way that you will succeed is through willful obedience. This is the pathway to promotion. Willful obedience. So what will it take for you to walk in willful obedience? It's a question. I'm glad you asked. First, you would need to accept God as the most significant being in your life. There can be nothing else in your life that's more significant to you than God. If God is second, if God is third, if God is fourth, then that means that you have not accepted him as the most significant being. He cannot become the God after your job. He cannot become the job after your children. He cannot become the job after your husband. He cannot become the job after your wife. He cannot become that person after, you know, or those people or your influence or whatever you're doing or whatever is coming in and out of your life. He cannot be second, third, or fourth in that. So we need to accept that. He must be the most significant thing, first of all, in our lives. The one who's the most important will have the most influence and the right to give you instruction. Now, just think about it. I said earlier, think about it. If your job is your most significant thing, first all, in your life, then that means that your job rules you. That job has preeminence over you. That job has precedent over you. The job dictates your life. The job tells you who you are. The job says this, do this, and you do it. The job says you better be here or you better be there, and you are there. You obey the job more than you obey God. That's what partial obedience brings. So if someone else occupies this role, you will find it difficult to obey God. Every time something occupies this role more than God does, your obedience to it occupies more than God, it will be very difficult for you to obey God. Now, if your acceptance from God alone is your priority, then you will be able to operate in consistent obedience. And this is where we come in, people of God. And even things, all this, what you have listened to me about and talked to me about or whatever the case may be and brought to you or wherever you have been and whatever you've been listening from this day forward, from the moment I started this faith thing, this is the part that I need for you to get most of all, that you cannot be in partial obedience. You cannot be in partial obedience because it is not partial obedience. It's just plain disobedience. So find yourself, okay, listen to this lesson really clearly and really closely tonight, this evening, because I want you to understand that your obedience must be significantly geared around God. And then you will be able to operate in consistent obedience. And on the other hand, you need to understand and accept from anyone, not that you need to understand. And on the other hand, you need acceptance from anyone else. You will be prone to compromise. If acceptance from God alone is your priority, then you will be able to operate consistently in obedience. If on the other hand, you need acceptance from anyone else, you will be prone to compromise. Prone to compromise. So this is what is going to happen is you're going to notify your ability to make bold moves. It will always notify. And I'm so glad that the Lord is dealing with me about this tonight, because a lot of people think that it's fear that holds them back. But it's your obedience that's holding you back. It's your disobedience that's holding you back. It is your disobedience because this will notify your ability to make bold moves for God. That have you ever wondered why you can't make bold moves for God? And I know I've been teaching on unbelief because yes, that is involved. And I know that you think that it's fear. Yes, that a lot of that is involved. But tonight, I really believe it's because you don't have the ability to make bold moves in God. It's because of your partial obedience. Now, God will ask you to make moves that others will not understand. And this is the place where I'm in right now, because he's making me make moves in places that I have never been in before, places that I didn't know I could even walk in. He's been pushing me and bringing me into new dimensions in him and showing me new ways to come in and out of him. And so even with that, I understand that if I don't obey him, I won't move. If I don't obey him, I won't see what he's trying to do and where he's trying to take me. If I'm not in full obedience to him, then if there is something else in my life that's taking more room than he is, then I'm going to be prone to leave what he's saying, or I'm not going to believe what he's saying because my faith is not there because of disobedience, and I'm not walking in those things that he has called me to walk in. So you have to understand that moves that others would not understand, and even in the ability to understand, does not negate you what God told you to do. You still have to go and do what God has called you to do. Now, let's go to the next thing. It says you will need to take action. Okay, let's talk about an action. Action are bold steps of obedience. Without full or complete understanding, without these bold actions, without being able to take these bold steps of obedience, and without full or complete understanding, we might not be able to move in those things that we are believing God for. I mean, you're in your prayer closet praying prayers. You're in your prayer closet speaking to God about things in your life and where you want to come up and what you want to do. And you're talking to him and you're in there for a long time just saying the things and telling him about the things that you want to do. But not understanding and asking God, say, God, you know, God, give me more faith. God, give me more boldness. You know, God, give me more the ability to be in full and complete obedience to you. Because remember when Joshua when Joshua and he had his walk around the walls of Jericho, God's instructions to him were unusual. They held no military merit. And you know, one thing you have to think of is that yet, even though Joshua did not fully understand the instructions, he still obeyed God. And that's where we have a problem at, because when we don't fully understand something, we'll back up and back out. When we don't fully understand something, we will kick against it. When we don't fully understand what God is doing in our lives, we become fearful and we move in unbelief. But God kept his word. God would never tell you to do anything that violates his will or your integrity or your witness. The other thing you have to see is that you should be very aware that you will come under attack, oh God, Lord, for your obedience. Oh, I know that so well. Oh, that I know that so well, because I can sense it in the realm of the spirit when people are coming against what God is doing because they do not understand. And because we come up under this attack, because we are obedient to God, because the enemy wants us to stop in our tracks what God has called us to do. So he'll bring us under attack for the obedience that we are given unto God. So now, if that is the case in point in your life, what you need to do is you must determine to confront every mental argument. Yes, mental. Because it becomes a mental argument in your brain, whether I should do this or whether I should not do this. It becomes a mental, and it begins to make you move back and step back from what God has told you and what God has called you to and what you have been walking in all this time. But then all of a sudden, you become mentally disturbed in a way that you begin to argue in your mind and contrary thoughts that causes you to question God's will. These contrary thoughts will attack you. But you have to understand that faith, the faith walk, faith is not a walk that's seen. Faith is not a walk that you feel. But expect, you got to expect it. You have to prepare in advance to aggressively respond with faith-filled words when the mental arguments start in your mind. Ah, Jesus. Oh, this is good to me. Last, you should appropriate the power of God to help you to obey. Appropriate the power of God. This is called the grace. When the pressure mounts, yes, Lord. When the pressure mounts, you will need to declare this grace over your life to keep you in a state of obedience. Every time you begin to move out of the will of God, or begin to disobey God and what he has called you to do or told you to do, you've got to begin to open up your mouth. There you go again. And begin to declare grace over yourself and to keep you in a state of obedience. You cannot turn back once you have stepped out in faith. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. You cannot step back. You cannot step back once you have stepped it out in faith. You can't take it back. If you do, you will lose your momentum. God, this is good. You remember, the devil wants you to get out of obedience, because he knows if you get out of obedience, you will never receive God's best in the state of disobedience. So I want you to make this commitment right now to obey God, no matter how long it takes for your faith to manifest results. Let me say that again. Make a commitment to obey God, no matter how long it takes your faith to manifest. If you are willing to stand, and this is what you have to understand, if you're willing to stand in faith forever, you will not have to. Some people try to give God a deadline. Oh, that's so us. Oh, we want to give God a deadline that they can manipulate. See, I'm not in the business of manipulating God, but you know, sometimes we manipulate God and not even know it. But we cannot, we have to make sure that we cannot be manipulating God. We cannot be manipulating him and acting on our behalf. This will not work, people of God. After all, you have to understand that God's been around a long time. He has every trick. He has heard every trick before and even in the previous of tricks, before and after. So this is where patience comes in. Let's listen to this. Patience comes in, and this is when the wonder twins come together. I told you patience and obedience are wonder twins. Patience is a partner of faith. Let that marinate for 1 second there. Patience is a partner to faith. Most people do not understand patience because of the world we live in. Everybody wants everything microwaved. Everybody wants everything fast. Everybody wants God to do everything they want him to do. Everybody wants God to move when they want him to move. But patience is a partner to faith. So we have to understand patience. We have to know that we cannot think patience is standing around and waiting for something to happen. That's not patience. And then, however, that is not biblical patience. Well, I'm just going to wait. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to do this. I'm waiting on God to do that. I'm waiting on God to bring my children out. I'm waiting on God, oh God, to bring me into a place with him. I'm waiting on God to answer my prayer. I'm waiting. No. That's not patience. That's not patience. Patience is shown when you do not become sluggish. Patience is shown when you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Hebrews 6 and 12. Patience cannot compromise zeal. Zeal. Zeal without knowledge. Zeal without waiting. Zeal without understanding. Patience is shown when you do not become in a place where you begin to activate on or become sluggish in your activation. Patience is not a cop-out. Patience is not resigning from the fight, but a determination to keep fighting while there are no visible victory. Expectation, when patience cannot compromise your zeal, anticipation, expectation, or your confession. Patience is not a cop-out covered in religious language. Yeah. So many Christians become tired in the fight. And having lost their resolve, they declare that God released them from the faith commitment. How many of us have said that? Because we didn't see answer, because we were not patient, because we were not obedient, now we want to release ourselves from the faith commitment. That's the reason why we don't get the best things of God. That's the reason why we don't walk in the best things of God. That's the reason why we don't walk in the power and the anointing of God in this hour. It's because we give up too quick. So here we are. The truth is those persons quit prematurely. And when you quit prematurely, you become a quitter. But that does not mean that you can stay a quitter. Patience is an active force of perseverance. Patience is endurance. Patience is fortitude. Patience is persistence. Now, if you look at these, none of these words sound like giving up. Patience is a force of action that does not distract you from your corresponding action or your systematic movement in your systematic movement or way of doing things in your faith process, but it undergirds it. With the force of patience, you possess a greater tenacity to succeed. The Bible says in Luke 21 and 19 says, by your steadfastness, patience and endurance shall win the true life of your souls. He says in Romans 2 and 7 says, to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, we will give eternal life. Romans 5 and 3 through 4 says, and not only that, we are also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. So you are not waiting to see what happens. You are making things happen. Say that again. You are not waiting to see what happens. You are making things happen. You may have to make some changes. And you should not sit back and do nothing. Patience is the spiritual resolve that gives birth to the strength and the tenacity necessary to fight through opportunities to quit. You can give up, but you choose not to. Always remember, for those who have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise, Hebrews 10:36. You will receive everything that God has promised if you obey and walk in patience and endurance. I'm gonna give you five more minutes until I'm done. Don't stop believing. This is what you got to understand. Don't stop believing. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, but we live by faith, not by what we see. Faith is not magic. It is a systematic spiritual process that creates God's will in your life. Faith can change anything But faith must be exercised for it to work. As you read this, as you hear me tonight, and as I am reading this, and as I'm going through this lesson tonight, you are going to learn 8 steps to exercising your faith on a continuous basis. You've already learned that the component to faith is the process. That would be the practical steps that you will keep, that will keep your faith growing. As you put these into practice daily, you will see the transformation take place in your life. Your faith holds the key to what you will receive from God, your faith. Not my faith, not your leader's faith, not somebody else's faith, but your faith holds the key to what you will receive from God. Faith is not difficult to understand once you have been taught what it is and how to operate in it. At the outset, understand that faith is a principle or a law. The reason why I say that faith is a spiritual principle is that the Bible declares it to be a law. The Bible says in Romans 3:27, where is boasting then? Is it excluded by what law of work? Nay, but by the law of faith. As a law, it works all the time, and it works devoid of emotions, demographics, race, gender, nationality, location, and opposition. Faith is as consistent as gravity and can be relied upon all the time. Now, since faith cannot be activated by the word of God, your faith journey starts when you find the promises in the Bible. If your request cannot be found in the Bible, faith cannot produce it. If you can find the promise, then God is obligated to manifest it according to your faith. When you read the Bible, you will find that God promises to cover every area of your life. That's why I say he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. There's over 2,000 promises in the word of God. Excuse me. God is more than willing to keep his word. But with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible or fulfillment. Luke 1:37. So God backs up his word with his power. This is what establishes your expectation. If God made a promise, then he wrote it for a reason. He wants you to have it. If God wanted to be mysterious, he wouldn't have written the Bible. While we may never know how God does what he does, we are very clear about one thing God would do because the Bible informs us. So once you have located the promises in the Bible, once you have located the promises in the Bible, then you shall make the quality decision to believe what God's word says. And this may sound very just simple, but so many Christians read the Bible and see what God has promised, but automatically exclude themselves. For instance, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:7, but God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. At the point at which you read this, and when you read it, you can choose to say, I know this is what the Bible says, but I do not feel like I have power because I am overcome with fear. Or you can choose to say, in spite of the feelings of fear that are gripping me, I believe what the word of God says, and I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So don't exclude yourself, include yourself. The Bible was written for you. Receive the promises of God, and you will see great change in your life. This is the hour, and this is the time to choose to believe God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us power and a sound mind. So tonight, this evening, I say this again, take the promises of God, confess the word of God over your life, and believe it. And if it's in the Bible, then God will activate it. God will make it come to pass. God will make it happen. So I want to leave right there and stop right there, and I'll come back to you next with the end of it on how you can begin to regulate your life in faith, obedience, and patience. God bless you, and thank you for listening. Jesus. Dr. for JC. In Jesus' name, I thank you.